I want you to take your Bibles and turn with us to 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to let you stay seated this morning. I just want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. We've stood for a little while singing Amazing Grace and a few other things. I just want to read three verses of Scripture in chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 10. We desire your prayers. And if you're here today and you've got sin in your life, you need to confess it. That's what's on our heart, confessing our sins. And that is not just for the lost person, which they need to confess their sins to be saved. But if you're saved here today and you have committed some sin, it does good to realize we need to come to the altar and confess our sins. And I appreciate the Lord and His goodness this morning. I want you to listen as we read this passage of Scripture, starting in verse 8 of chapter 1 of 1 John. This is Little John. A lot of people call it Little John. The Bible said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord, for this good singing. We thank You for the Holy Spirit we've been able to feel. Thank You, Lord, for the Sunday school hour, Lord, You blessed us with. And God, we thank You for our members and our visitors alike, Lord, that's coming to this house today. Lord, You knew who would be here and You knew who wouldn't. We pray that You'd be with those that's physically not able, Lord, to get out and come to Your house, that has a desire to come. Lord, maybe there's others, Lord, that's been hindered today from attending Your house, or Lord, they are in another place. I pray, God, You'd look down upon them and You'd bless them. Lord, we're here today at Welcome Grove Baptist Church, Lord, and I can honestly say that I'm in that number, Lord, that all of us are, that we all sin and come short of the glory of God. Lord, we need to confess our sins and never get to the place in our life where we realize, Lord, maybe we're living so close that we have no sins to confess. Or Lord, when we have sins, Lord, we are too embarrassed to come and ask You to forgive us of our sins. God, I pray today You'd help us, Lord, to relay this message, Lord, that You've touched our heart with to Your people, Lord. I pray they'd be fed and touched. Lord, I pray when we leave here today, we'd be cleaner than we was when we come. I believe, Lord, Your word cleanses us and cleans us up. Lord, surely as we need a physical bath, we need a spiritual bath on a regular basis. I pray, God, today if there's one under the sound of our voice that don't know You as their personal Savior, I pray this will be that good hour, Lord, they'd call out on Your name. Lord, if that takes place, or Lord, someone gets their heart right with You, or Lord, someone confesses some sins and comes clean, Lord, and You clean them today, we'll thank You and we'll praise You, Lord, because it's what You did at Calvary. This makes it possible for us to be clean with You in the eyes of Jesus and through His blood. Lord, we ask, Lord, now You bless the remainder of this service. Whatever You do, Lord, we'll do our best to bow and worthy head, give You the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. For us in Jesus' name, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. I begin to read this passage of Scripture. I could almost just about quote it, but I want to make sure we don't miss anything today, because probably when I've been in the altar with people praying, Brother DB, this is the one verse that I use more than any other verse in all the Scripture, that if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When somebody comes to pray, and he said here in verse 8, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Bible said that Jesus is the truth. Amen. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What he's saying is, if we're here today and you begin to make this statement that we have no sin, you have tricked yourself into thinking that you're living a life without sin, and Christ is not in your life. But as long as we're in the flesh, and as long as we're in this world, and as long as temptation's out there, we're going to find ourselves as sinners coming short of the glory of God. Amen. I want you to know this morning that there's a lot of people deceiving themselves. It said we deceive ourselves. There's times in my life I think the hardest truth to grasp and to swallow is this. This morning is when we are studying our Bible and we are praying and we are going to church and we are doing everything we feel like we're doing. Sometimes we feel like and we've gotten closer to the Lord than we really are. And it don't matter if you're the pastor or the deacon or the song leader or instrumental or you're here just to worship today. We all make mistakes. Amen. We've all fallen and stumbled, praise the Lord. But I'm glad God is a forgiving God. Amen. God forgives us of our sins if we'll confess our sin. A man that sins has not been forgiven. This morning, according to the Word of God, is a man that has not asked for his sins to be forgiven. Amen. If you're here today and you're lost and you've never been saved, it's because you don't want to be saved. I've never seen a sinner come to the altar if they really meant it and confess their sins, knowing that Jesus is faithful. Praise the Lord. You'll leave this morning with what you come looking for. Amen. Boy, I want you to know this morning, don't deceive yourself into thinking everything's all right with the Lord. I'm still waiting on the right time. I had to talk to a guy at work. He makes fun of me going to church, and he makes fun of our Bible and things. And I said something to him one day. He said, "You don't have to worry about me. I'm trusting in St. Michael." Amen. You better hear me and hear me today. St. Michael ain't going to get you there. And St. Andrew ain't going to get you there. And a lot of times people will say, St. Peter. And some people's trusting in the Pope. And some people's trusting in religion. Amen. I've heard some people say religion. There's no good religion. But that's not what the Bible said. It said pure religion is those that visit the widows and the fatherless. There is a religion that God is okay with. But it's not self-righteousness. Amen. Don't deceive ourselves into thinking we're going to heaven because we go to church once a month. Amen. There's more to going to heaven and going to the altar someplace in your life and telling people that you've been saved. Amen. I like what one of the scriptures said. He said, "I'll show." He began to talk about his faith, Brother Darrell, without words. And then the other man said, "I'll show you my faith by my works." I don't believe works will get you to heaven, but I believe works will show everybody you got what it takes to get to heaven. Amen. If you're not doing the works of a Christian, if you're not praying, if you're not living right, if you're not loving others, if you don't have forgiveness, heart and all these fruits, it's not in your life, most likely you've never been saved by God's grace. Amen. Do you know you can come to church here every Sunday and hear me preach and still die and go to hell? You say, "Well, I'm going to get out of here." You can go down the road and go hear anybody else preach. I believe there's people sitting down in Atlanta this morning listen to Charles Stanley preach
And some of them maybe been there 20, 30, and 40 years. If they don't confess their sins and start listening to what he's saying, they're not going to make it to heaven. The reason we're all here today is to praise the Lord, we are going. And if there's somebody here that's not going, I've come to help you see the way. Amen. I hope and pray we leave here today. I prayed this a minute ago, and I mean it, that we're all cleaner when we leave than we was when we come. Amen. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'll tell my wife, I'll say, well, I'll be out in a few minutes. I'm going to take a shower. And as far as I know, I don't stink. I'm not smelling myself, Brother Manner. You know, it's amazing to me, though, and I'm not being ugly, but I've been around people that stink. And they didn't know they stink. They never said nothing about it. They never held their nose. It's like they'd gotten used to stinking. I remember a time, I'll never forget this. I don't like sharing this too much, but it's the truth. Where I'd come in from the funeral home, and I had went and picked up a body. Brother D.B. had already started decaying. I know what that scripture talks about when he said they'd been dead for 4 days. A decay starts setting in on about the third or fourth day. This person had been dead for 7 days, and it was rough. I was riding back with them in the van, and I rolled the window down because I was getting sick just smelling the smell. It was getting me nauseated. Brother Nick, when I got back, my boss said, rolling down was the worst thing you could do. He said, all you was doing was circulating air from the back right back to you to go out the window right by your head. I said, I couldn't take it when the window was down. Amen. It's stinking. What I want you to know is our sins stinks in the nostrils of God. And yet sometimes we don't even know we're not right with him. Amen. Ain't too many people hollering amen, is there? If I was preaching on heaven, we'd be having a good time. I can't always preach on heaven. You know, confessing our sins is just as real as heaven. And I'll tell you something he said here. He said, if we confess our sins, I want you to catch that real quick. We's me and you. I need to confess mine just like you need to confess yours. If you'll get that in your head when you say we, you'll always include yourself. Amen. It's not, I like an old song that said, it's not my mother or my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. Amen. Every one of us at times in our lives, we stand in the need of prayer. And he says, if we'll confess our sins, Paul had sins, Peter had sins, Abraham sinned, Noah sinned, I sinned, you sinned. There's only one person that don't fall in that category. His name is Jesus. Amen. He's the only one that didn't sin. And he had no reason to confess his sins. But you know what he did? He still found a place to pray. It amazes me sometimes how many times people have come to church. I had a pastor call me this week. He said, Brother Jeff, can I talk to you a minute? And I said, yes, sir. He began to talk, and he said, I want to ask you about something. And he said, and I don't want nobody to know that we talked, and that's why I'm not going to share the name. He said, but I was just wondering if you have experienced this before. He said, you ever preached and preached and preached week after week after week? You can preach on sin, you can preach on love, you can preach on thanksgiving, you can preach on how good God is, you can preach on appreciating your salvation, and people don't go to the altar like I used to. He said, when I was a little boy, people used to just go to the altar regular. And I said, I've seen that. I said, at our church, I said, it's been doing better. It's been people going to the altar on a regular basis, and in a crowd this size, this is what I believe. I don't believe we should ever have a service where somebody is not coming to the altar and praying. Amen. How can I say that? Because even if everything's right between you and the Lord, is everybody you know right with the Lord? Are we praying for sinners? Are we bearing one another's burdens? So fulfilling the law of Christ? I appreciate every time somebody comes to this altar, it seems like most of the time, and I don't write it down in a pad, Brother Thomas, but it seems like two or three at least will come and pray with them. Nobody's praying by themselves, but praise the Lord. Megan, even if you was by yourself, I was by myself. I like what my grandmother says all the time. She said, don't feel sorry for me. If you think I live by myself, I ain't by myself. Jesus said, he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Praise the Lord. I'm not traveling alone in this world. I've got somebody to walk with me. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. He already knows what you've done before you confess it. How many of you have ever tried to pull it out of your children? What they did, they'll come in, they've been fighting. One of them's got a knot on the head. Blood running down them. Whipped my two of them out there, and one's crying and bleeding. And you look at the other and say, what happened? I wasn't even in the front yard. I don't even know what happened. Maybe a stick fell out of the tree and hit that rock beside the driveway and bounced off the car and hit him in the head. I don't know. And I'll say, boy, it sure does sound like a good story for you not to have been in the front yard and not to know what was going on. Don't that sound like us sometimes we come to the altar and say, Lord, you know I've been praying. Lord, you know I've been studying. Lord, I've been doing the best I can. Would you just still help me, Lord? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes when we think we're doing our best, we're not doing our best. Sometimes when we tell the Lord we've been studying, you know, maybe in, we've studied once this month, we didn't study last month, we consider that studying, but compared to everybody else, we're not really studying. If we're not going, you know, even if you come to altar every service at Welcome Grove Baptist Church, if you don't ever pray at home, do you realize there's about 27 to 26 days every month that you're not praying, even if you pray every Sunday? And you might say, well, Brother Jeff, I pray every time I eat. Really? That's the only time we're praying is to thank Him for our food? What about when you wake up? What about when you go to bed? What about when something comes up unexpectedly during the day? What about when God lays somebody on your heart? Brother Nick, they just come on your mind and you ain't thought about them in 2 weeks. Do we just stop and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but would you be with them today? What about when I'm at work trying to fulfill two duties? Being at work and being a pastor, knowing somebody's having surgery and I can't be there. You don't think I ain't praying for you? Do you think that? Let me ask that one more time. Do you think that when I'm at work, I'm praying for you?
Amen.
Think no more than that. Oh, you need another pastor. That's pitiful. I'm telling you, a man that ain't praying for his flock is not praying for people that's having surgery that don't care that somebody's going through cancer. I tell you, Brother Tony, I've called, I don't know how many times, and apologized to him. I've went since Debbie's passed away, but I've been working more the last couple weeks than I have in months, and I feel like I've just about let him down a little bit. And he said, preacher, I know where you're at. And he said, and if I need you, I know I can call you. And he said, I believe if I called you, you'd come. And I said, I would. I'd get off of work. And I would, and I want everybody in here to know that. I'd lose my job Monday. And I probably would lose my job. They're hiring temps, Brother Mallory. We're so far behind. But if somebody called me Monday and said, Brother Jeff, I've never really felt like this. And I wouldn't ask you to do this unless I really needed you. But you think that you could come down the house? I really need to pray with you. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm going to tell my boss, I said, I need to leave. You know, it's been a few times that I've told him I need to take off or need to leave. And he's like, Jeff, this is getting a little bit ridiculous. Some of you boss say, boy, this is happening a little bit too much. People don't even realize. And you go get in the car not knowing if you're going to have a job the next day. Right. But I'm going to tell you something. I love you more than I love my job. You might not believe that. Brother Cook told me something one time, and I'll never forget it. He said, Brother Jeff, to live for the Lord and to do God's work, he said, your family's going to suffer. And he said, there's things that you'll have to do without everybody else will have. You know, there's been a few times that the old fleshly part of me, Jonathan, I pulled up in the parking lot, and just about everybody's got a nice car. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, I'd like to have a nice car. And I could make more money than what I'm making, but I can't make more money and get a job where I can be off on Sundays. I can't get a job where I can just leave when I want to. I'm making less money right now than I've made in almost 20-something years. And I'm happier right now. I'm not happy about the circumstance. I listen to more cussing and more things go on at work than I ever have. That I don't like. But I do like having the freedom to leave work and come to be with you if you need me to. Amen. Do you know it's worth more than all the money could be offered to me? It is. I got court next week and I get to take off and go to court to be there with them little kids. We got revival the first week in October. I get to my, it don't matter if they're working late or not, they're going to let me leave 3:30 every night to be here for revival. I had revival 2 weeks ago, back to back. They let me off a month before that or 2 months before that, 3 weeks back to back, let me off to be at work. That old boy said, church, church, church. That's all you do, Jeff. Church, church, church. It'd do some of us some good to get to church and get clean. I thought I was going to preach on Paul and Silas being over in jail a little bit this morning when the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And that's what I'm reading about this morning, confessing your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. To cleanse you from all unrighteousness means he gets rid of everything that's bad and he makes you right with God. It's not some big theological thing, but you come, you confess your sins, and because he's faithful, he said he'll forgive you of your sins. And he'll cleanse you. All that means is I'm going to clean away everything that's not right. That's what unrighteousness is. It's things that's not right in your life. Amen. If I ask you this morning, are you righteous? And somebody stood up and said, bless God, I'm righteous. Some of us would cringe and say, boy, I wouldn't have said that. You know all they're saying is they're right with God, that they're trying to live right. Did you know that? It's not boasting some great that you're trying to say that you're Jesus or anybody else, but you're just making a statement that you're trying to live right with God. I thought about this morning as I was sitting on the stage. And I'm about done. But when I was a little boy, one of the things I loved the most about going to the ball field, I played ball. And I loved playing ball, Thomas. I remember it. It almost seemed like another lifetime now to think back when I was playing ball and wasn't working, didn't have kids. And, you know, it seemed like I died and started over another life, brother. I'm sure you think about that sometimes. Back when maybe you was in your teen years driving a car. And it just seemed like it's so far back. It's another life or something. But I remember when we went to the ball field. The place I loved to go more than any place, you ready? It was called the concession stand. I wanted a snow cone with a little squirt stuff on it. I wanted the Bubblicious bubble gum. I wanted the little jokes wrapped up on the inside so I could tell the guys on my ball team. Amen. I wanted the cakes that's got the powder on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Funnel cakes and I wanted a hot dog, and I wanted another hot dog, and I wanted another hot dog. Hey, you can ask my mom. I always been an eater. Didn't matter how little I was. I wanted to go session, and I could go session stand. Spend about, back then, $2 or $3. I'd be coming back, and I'd say, good Lord, you're not going to be able to eat all that. What was you thinking? I said, I can eat it. I wanted it. I want it. Smell good. Popcorn smell good. And hot dog smell good. And hamburger smell good. And nachos and cheese smell good. And you come back with all the stuff. And then you get done eating that. And you know where you wanted to go again? Mama, can I have $3 more? I'm going to go back to session stand. You've been session stand enough today. I don't know if y'all like it. Now you go to Atlanta Braves or something. I want my kids to experience that. It's like $400 to get some chips and a hot dog. We don't get a ghost session stand nowadays, brother. They'd be like a deal with a little boy. But I need to carry them down to the ball field down there where it's reasonable. You know, where a Coke's like $6 instead of $9 or something. But y'all know what I'm getting at this morning. But when I was thinking about that this morning, you know, when I went to a concession stand, Jonathan, I was always getting. The Catholics, it's sad to say, does it more than the Baptists, but they go to a confession stand. They call it a confession booth. And they go in to a man and they tell him everything that's going wrong. And they lay it all out there and they tell him everything that's going on. And I'm not asking you this morning to stand up and tell everybody in this church what you've done and what you're thinking about doing. That ain't what I'm asking. The Bible says confess your faults one to another. I believe every once in a while we need to confess them. Somebody we've got confidence in, have them pray with us and help us with them. But they'll go in, they'll confess their sins to this man that's supposed to be a priest. And then he'll say, seven Our Fathers and nine Hail Marys or something like that, you know. And it's their way of saying you need to go do these certain penances. And I don't know all about it. I had a man try to explain it to me one day. To be honest with you, I don't know no more now than I knew before he started explaining it. But this part I do know. There's not a man that can do anything with your sins besides Jesus Christ. Amen. That part I do know. I got a lot of confidence in all the men in here, but there ain't a man in here that I'm going to confess my stuff to. Because ain't nothing you can do about it except for think worse of me. Amen. But I'll tell you, if I come down here today and I tell him what I've done, I've messed up, or where I've come short, he's faithful. He won't think less of me tomorrow. You know what I think is pretty amazing? If some of you heard that a preacher cussed this morning out at the restaurant, and then 30 days from now he's preaching a revival, it wouldn't none of you go hear him. So I ain't going to hear him. And I ain't saying that we should run around and cuss all the time. I'm talking about a man that made a mistake. Peter, as far as I know, the Bible said he cursed. He denied the Lord three times and he cursed within himself. As far as I know, it's the only time he done it. Noah got drunk, but he only did it one time. He wasn't drunk every day. He messed up. Lot made mistakes. Abraham lied. We can go on and on. I'm not trying to point out all their faults because I promise you I got more than they do. But you know, when the Lord got ready on the day of Pentecost to choose a preacher to preach for him, he looked down and seen the Apostle Peter standing over there beside the rest of them. He didn't say, well, I'm not going to use him because he messed up 30 days ago. See, because he had already cleaned him up. The Bible says this, that after Peter denied the Lord, Brother Matt, he went off and he wept bitterly when he realized what he had done. And I don't care if you believe it or not, but I'm going to tell you what happened. He went somewhere and he asked God to forgive him. And Jesus was just faithful enough to forgive him of his sins. And guess what? Cleanse him from all unrighteousness. He got rid of everything that was wrong. And he is just as clean as the day was he believed in Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but every once in a while somebody will say, boy, I wish I could feel like I did the day I got saved. You can't get saved again, but you can't get no cleaner than clean. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care if I was 1 year old and my mama gave me a bath, or if I was 5 or 10 and had learned how to give myself a bath, or now I'm dead, a grown man, I'm still giving myself a bath. If you're clean, you're clean. If you're dirty, you're dirty. Is that right? Amen. So if you come this morning, you confess your sins, and Jesus takes it all away, you can be just as clean this morning as you was the day you got saved. It don't matter if you believe that or not. It's fact. Because he don't hold nothing against us. You might not feel as close because here's what we do as human beings. Why don't they come get a verse sung? Jesus will forgive us, but you're not going to forgive yourself. You're going to hold it against yourself. You're going to beat yourself up this way. Even if you come and confess it, he's going to say, I understand, I forgive you. Tomorrow you'll be letting that bother you. You will, and you won't allow yourself to get into a place. It's amazing when we got saved, we'll tell people that he took all our sins and cast it in the sea. Forgiveness, be remembered no more. And that's why we think that's such a special time, and it is. I don't want to lessen that in no way. But do you realize this morning if you come and confess your sins, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to take all of them and throw them over to the same place he did the first time. You come and confess your sins, and guess what? It's going to be remembered no more like it was the day you got saved. And you can be clean before God. And I'm going to tell you something, that's a good feeling to know that you're clean. I want us to rise to our feet this morning. I want to ask you a question. When are you going to confess your sins? Are you going to heaven when you die?
Amen.
Have you confessed your sins to the one that can do something about it? He's just playing softly for a minute, you know. So many things. So, well, I ain't done nothing. What about thinking? Have you thought anything? Have you said anything? The Bible said our tongue is wickedly evil. No man can tame it. See, if you can control your tongue, you're same as a perfect man. Might as well say you ain't done nothing wrong if you ain't said nothing wrong or spoke a wrong word or spoke a word in a way that you shouldn't have, snapped at somebody. You might say, Brother Jeff, I just not much on going to the altar and confessing my sins. I read a verse of Scripture this morning before I came over here. He said, every knee is going to bow unto me and every tongue is going to confess unto God. You'll bow before Jesus one day. Today would be a good day. Just come and say, Lord, forgive me of all my mistakes, my faults, my failures. Please, Lord, forgive me. And according to the Scripture, said he's faithful concerning his promises, but he's not slack as other men are. He's faithful. He'll show up this morning and take care of your need. Come on, Brother Nick, whatever verse or song you want to sing this morning, how about it? Is everything all right between you and the Lord?